ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय So we're continuing our reading from the seventh canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam. We're in chapter 15. Today's text is 14. Yastuchaya kritak pumbhir Abhaso yashramat pritak Sabhavo vihito dharma Kasyaneshtak prashantaye Yastuchaya kritak pumbhir Abhaso yashramat pritak Sabhava vihito dharma Kasya neshtak prashantaye Yastuchaya kritak pumbhir Abhaso yashramat pritak Sabhava vihito dharma Kasya neshtak prashantaye Please chant. Kastyaneshtak prashantaye. Yastuchaya kritak pumbhir. Abhaso yashramat pritak. Sabhava vihito dharma. Kastyaneshtak prashantaye. Vaishnavis. Yastuchaya kritak pumbhir Abhaso yashramat pritak Sabhava vihito dharma Kasyaneshtak prashantaye Yastuchaya kritak pumbhir Abhaso yashramat pritak Yastuchaya kritak pumbhir Abhaso yashramat pritak Sabhava vihito dharma Kasyaneshtak prashantaye. So, word meanings, yaha, that which, to, indeed, ichchaya, whimsically, kritaha, conducted, pumbhi, by persons, abhasaha, dim reflection, He, indeed, ashramat, from one's own order of life, pritak, different, sabhava, according to one's own nature, vihitaha, regulated, dharmaha, religious principle, kasya, in what respect, na, not ishtaha capable prashantaye for relieving all kinds of distress. Srila Prabhupada's translation for this verse. A pretentious religious system manufactured by one who willfully neglects the prescribed duties of his order of life is called abhasa, a dim reflection or false similarity. But if one performs the prescribed duties for his particular ashram or varna, why are they not sufficient to mitigate all material distresses? Please repeat. A pretentious religious system manufactured by one who willfully neglects the prescribed duties of his order of life is called abhasa, a dim reflection or false similarity. But if one performs the prescribed duties for his particular ashrama or varna, why are they not sufficient to mitigate all material distresses? Srila Prabhupada's purport. It is indicated here that everyone should strictly follow the principles of varna and ashrama as given in the Shastra. In the Vishnu Purana 3.8.9, it is said, famous verse, varna ashramacharya vata purushena parakpaman vishnu aradate pantat nanya tattosha karanam. One should focus upon the destination for progress, which is to become Krishna conscious. This is the aim and end of all varnas and ashramas. However, if Vishnu is not worshipped, the followers of the Varnashram institution manufacture some concocted god. Thus, it has now become fashionable for any rascal or fool to be elected god, and there are many missionaries who have concocted their own gods, giving up their relationship with the real God. In Bhagavad Gita, it is clearly said that one who worships the demigods has lost his intelligence. Nonetheless, we find that even an illiterate person who has lost all intelligence is elected God. And although he has a temple, it has meat-eating sannyasis, and many polluted activities go on there. This type of religious system, which misguides its poor followers, is strictly forbidden. So at least the senior devotees here know who Prabhupada is talking about. We don't need to name any names. Prabhupada didn't name any names in his purport, so we won't do that. But point is well taken. Such pretentious religions should be stopped altogether. The original system is that a brahmana should actually become a brahmana. He should not only take birth in a brahmana family, but must also be qualified. Also, even if one is not born in a brahmana family, but has brahminical qualifications, he must be considered a brahmana. By strictly following this system, one can be happy without extra endeavor. Sabhava vihito dharma kasya neshta prashantaye. The real aim of life is to mitigate distress, and one can do this very easily by following the principles of Shastra. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Om Gyana Tamirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshura Unmilitam Jaina Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobhishtang Stapitang Jaina Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sopadantikam Vandehang Sri Guru Sri Yutapada Kamalam Sri Guru and Vaisyavangscha Sri Rupam Sagadatam Sahagana Ragana Tanbatam Tang Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishal Kanvatangsha. Hey Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dina Bando Jagapate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namosute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindabaneshwari Vrishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priya Vancha Kopa Turupyo Shakripa Sindhu Vevacha Patitanang Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Dittananda Sri Adaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gorbhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. So the Varnashram is the beginning of civilized human life. This is the chapter describing the duties of civilized persons. So it begins with Varnashram. If you are, there is above Varnashram. For instance, the Vaishnavas are considered to be above the Varnashram system. So even though they may act in ways that seem to be contrary to varna and ashram, it is not held against them because their only aim is to please Krishna. And anyone who's on that platform, they can do no wrong. Just like we have a saying in English, the king can do no wrong. So one who's actually a Vaishnava can do no wrong. You cannot criticize a Vaishnava. That, you're paving your way to hell if you do that. And I've many times mentioned this, that there are people who say they accept Srila Prabhupada as a pure devotee, but, and then they go on to criticize him in some way. You're paving your way to hell. So above Varnashram is the Vaishnavas. And below Varnashram, there are so many. Kirata, Hunandu, Kupulinda, Pokasha, Abhira, Shambhag, Yavanakashara, Yenayichapapya, Yadapashyasha, Suryanti, Tasmai, Prabhavishnava, Namaha. There are so many listed in that verse by Shukadev Goswami, 4th chapter of the 2nd canto. So many who are below the Varnashram, they're outside the Varnashram system. But even they can be the liberty set if they take shelter of the pure devotee of the Lord. So here, if we accept the pure devotee of the Lord, Srila Prabhupada, I want to see a show of hands, those who accept Srila Prabhupada's purports as Shastra. And if you don't, you're in the wrong room. And this, you'll see where I'm going later on when I bring up a point. But we're not only hearing the words of Shukadev Goswami and Sutta Goswami and the others who actually spoke the verses that are mentioned in the Srimad Bhagavatam, 18,000 shlokas, but we're hearing Srila Prabhupada's explanation of those presentations, those, and we accept his explanation as Shastra. If you don't, like I said, you're in the wrong room. You're in the wrong club. You made a wrong turn somewhere. You know, so you either get back in your car and go to the right place you wanted to go to, or come to the standard of accepting Srila Prabhupada's purports as Shastra. If not, then why are you reading this version of the Srimad Bhagavatam? There are so many others out there. Why do you read Bhagavad Gita as it is? There are so many other Bhagavad Gitas. They were around before Prabhupada came. So we accept Prabhupada's purports as Shastra. That's what makes his book stand apart from other books. Recently we heard a presentation that, and it's not something new, we've heard it many times, that Srila Prabhupada said that I did not write these books. They were written by Krishna. Krishna dictated and I wrote them down. And that's why he said, I love to read my own books because I'm actually learning from them. And they were so sweet, so tasty, because they were dictated by Krishna. Again, I'm going to come to a particular point and why I'm raising this. I mean, we should all accept this as axiomatic fact anyway, but I'm bringing it up for a particular reason. So today's purport, very clear. One should not act whimsically, and that definitely pertains to us. Kali Yuga is that age where nobody knows their Varna. That's why we're called Varna Shankara. Varna Shankara literally means one whose Varna cannot be determined. So one whose Varna has not been determined, you can't ask them, are you a Kshatriya, Vaishya? You're not anything. You're none of those because you've never been trained. What is the use of somebody who's Varna Shankara claiming to be a Kshatriya or this or that? You're Varna Shankara. Now you can be trained if you come, if you're serious and sincere, you can be trained to be a Brahmana. You can be trained to be a Kshatriya, a Vaishya. Even a Shudra needs training. You can be trained for one of these Varnas. But by birth, we are Kalo Shudra Sambhava. We are all, to even call us Shudra is a compliment. We're all from that group below Varnasha. Kirata, Hunanja, Pulinda, Pulkasha, all those people that Shukadev Goswami mentioned, that's where we come from. We're not even to be called Shudra is a compliment for somebody who was born in this age. So to ask somebody who's Varna Shankara what their Varna is a useless waste of time. Because everybody wants to be the head of society. Kali himself, Kali personified, he was arrested by Maharaj Parikshit. Why was he arrested? Not just that, he was imitating a Kshatriya. He was dressed like a king, but by his activities you could see right away this person is not a king. Because the king is supposed to give protection to the Praja. And Praja means, in the broad Vedic sense, anyone born in that land. Prabhupada would sit here in America and say, why are you killing the cows? They're also born here. They're also American citizens. They have the same rights that you do. What makes you think that because you're a human birth in this land, you have more rights than the cow who's also born in the same land? So that was not the Vedic conception. The Vedic king, Raja, meant that he gave protection to everyone. Everyone. The cows, the trees, no one should be killed unnecessarily. So that's one of the reasons why Maharaj Parikshit arrested him. Not just that he was beating the cow, but he was impersonating a king. He was dressed in the royal garb, but he was obviously not a king. So that's not allowed in the Vedic society. You cannot imitate. You don't dress like a swami, like it said here, so-called sannyasis, but they're eating meat. That is punishable. That is punishable. You're not supposed to imitate. You're supposed to be trained up in one of the four varnas, and you're supposed to be situated in one of the four ashramas and act accordingly. And if you don't, then you're punishable. That's one of the things that the Kshatriya king was meant to do. Kshatriya king was meant to establish and go around and see that everybody is acting according to their varna and ashram. And if you weren't, then you could be punished. There was no unemployment. Everybody had some employment. Now, question came up again about acting whimsically. So again, it definitely pertains to us because we think that I have a right, it's my life, I have a right to be the final decider of what I do. And that's why we're in the situation we're in right now. Lifetime after lifetime, Maya convinces us, it's your life, you are the boss, you decide what you should do. Don't let anybody else make that decision for you. And therefore we come back again and again and again. And not always as human beings. Surrender means you're going to be told what to do. We don't like that. Prabhupada said, even when God himself comes, Krishna, and says, Sarvadharma Parityaja, we say, well, who gives him the right to order me like this? I don't want to do what he tells me. God himself says. And then reluctantly we say, okay, well, God wants me to surrender. So when God comes to me and tells me that, then I will do it. No, Prabhupada said, you have to follow God's representative. God says surrender to me, and God's representative tells you to surrender to God. And then you do it. Krishna says, think of me, become my devotee. And Krishna's representative says, think of Krishna and become Krishna's devotee. So similarly, in our society, we have this misconception that if Prabhupada came to me and told me to do something, I would do it. But why should I follow Prabhupada's, you know, so-called temple presidents and JBCs there? No, you have to do it. Prabhupada established that before he left. The devotees were always bothering him about this and that. He said, there's a JBC, there's a temple president, consult them. You don't have to come to me for every little thing. But then we figure, but what if the temple president is not pure? What if the JBC is not pure? No, that means you don't have any faith in Krishna. You don't have any faith in Krishna. You're not reading Prabhupada's books. If Prabhupada's representative, the GBC and the temple president, if they're asking you to do the same things that Prabhupada would ask you to do, chant your rounds, go to the morning program, go out on Sankirtan, do some practical service. If they're asking you to do the same things that Prabhupada would ask, why not do it? Why not? Where's your reservation? Where's your reluctance? The reluctance comes from our own contamination. Again, thinking that I should be the boss of my own life. Nobody should tell me what to do. And then you get the result that you deserve. You come back again. At least if we surrender to the chain of authority, there's a chance that we get out of here. So if we have some faith in Krishna, that Krishna is actually omnipresent, he's omniscient, and he's my well-wisher, he says, Suritam Sarvabhutanam. I am everybody's Surit means the best friend, not just ordinary friend. Your best friend is Krishna. So if your best friend is Krishna and you're trying to surrender to Krishna through the chain of authority, don't you think that Krishna will look out for you and make sure you get what you really should get? That's faith. That's faith. But we don't have such faith, generally speaking. We're thinking, no, I have to look out for myself. I have to do what I want to do and establish what I want to do. No. Again, that means a lack of faith. So this creates a disturbance. And Prabhupada used to say, disciple means discipline. If you don't want to be disciplined, then you're not a disciple. You're not a disciple. You have to present yourself to the spiritual master to be disciplined. And that means, again, coming through the chain of authority. It was a mixed blessing that Prabhupada accepted so many disciples that he couldn't give personal attention to each and every one of us. But it also put us in this mood of surrendering to the authorities that Prabhupada established. Learning about Krishna consciousness directly from these authorities that Prabhupada established. Prabhupada didn't have the time to personally sit down with every single disciple and instruct them personally. No. So when you join at a particular center, a particular temple, in my case, the Henry Street Temple in 1973, immediately you were told what to do by somebody who you accepted was in the chain of authority from Prabhupada. And it was so fine-tuned in those days. Every little detail, when you went in the kitchen to cut tomatoes, they showed you exactly how they should be cut. And if you didn't cut it that way, you got chastised. Nothing was left to whimsy, that this is the way I want to do it. This is the Brooklyn style of doing it, and this is the West Coast style or the Peruvian style. No. No, you were told exactly how to do it. And that was good training. That was good training. You learned how to surrender. You learned how to surrender. And that included service also. In my case, I had just finished my third year of engineering school when I joined the movement. And so I could have been puffed up. I probably was puffed up, but still, at least I learned that much right away, that you do what you're told to do. That's the way to surrender to Prabhupada, and you surrender to Krishna by surrendering to Prabhupada's authority, chain of authority. So one of the first things they asked me to do, duty they gave me to do, was a nasty duty. I had to clean all the storerooms in the entire temple every day. So I could have been puffed up and said, hey, I'm a college student, I'm an engineer, practically already. Why are you giving me this kind of low work? No, but I understood. Whatever comes down the chain of authority, you take it as what Krishna wants you to do. So I did it for months. And then one day, Jayadvaita Prabhu, he was still Brahmacharya at the time, he came to me and said, you know, we've heard that you're a college student, and we're getting ready to computerize the BBT operation. You know anything about computers? Sure, yeah, I learned to program mainframe computers, so come. So that's how I got started in the BBT. And so I'm just offering this out to the young devotees. Don't hesitate to surrender to the chain of authority. Krishna is the ultimate authority. Just before Prabhupada left, he said, reminded us, Krishna is in complete control. That is Krishna consciousness. If we don't have that much faith that Krishna is actually in complete control, even it seems the order is coming from this, you know, commander or this president or this GBC, we take it as coming. As long as it's not, that's why you have to read Prabhupada's book, so you can see right away if there's any deviation. But if you like to go out on Sankirtan, but one day the temple president asks you to stay back, there's a shortage of pujaris, get on the altar, why would you hesitate? Why would you hesitate? If you're in the kitchen doing some duty, the temple president said, now it's a marathon, I want you to wind up your kitchen duties by 10 o'clock and go out and distribute books, why would you hesitate? We know this is what Prabhupada would want. Prabhupada wants his books distributed. He was enlivened by hearing the book distribution scores. So why would you hesitate? So we're not... So, all right, I wanted to get to a point. Yesterday, last night, I got an email from a devotee. Some of you know, she used to be here, Nandarani Devi Dasi, disciple of Mukunda Maharaj. And she wanted to know that Prabhupada states that Yudhisthira Maharaj was the emperor of the world. But how is that possible? Because, you know, how did he get around? They were driving in horse and, you know, horse and chariot like that. And maybe it was at that time the entire world was just one land mass. Is that how he got around? Can you explain that to me? So I did. And I realized that this question is coming up because there are some members of our society who don't accept this, even though Prabhupada directly stated it over and over. They are so intelligent, they don't accept it. No, Yudhisthira Maharaj was not the emperor of the world. He was just the emperor of India. So, I'm going to read you a purport. That's why I asked you earlier, do you accept Srila Prabhupada's purports as Shastra? So here's what Prabhupada has to say. So this was in the first canto. It's in the chapter where Bhishma Dev is about to depart from this world. And this is Bhishma Dev speaking. The verse says, at the Rajasuya Yajna, performed by Maharaj Yudhisthira, there was the greatest assembly of all the elite men of the world, the royal and learned orders. Listen, this is Bhishma Dev. He says, all the elite men of the world came to Hastinapur. So how did they know that there was a Rajasuya sacrifice? There was no internet. There was no phone, no telegraph, no telex. How did they know? How did all these elite men from all around the world know that? He sent his brothers in all directions to declare, and this is called the challenge horse system, to declare that he was going to be established as the emperor of the world. And you had a right to challenge if you didn't like it. You could fight. And some did. There's that Bhaktivinoda Thakur writes in his Navadvipa Mahatmya that, you know, this Samudra Sen, Bengal, Bhima Sen went in that direction. And this Samudra Sen, he was also a devotee, but he didn't want to submit. So he fought against Bhima. And he was actually beating Bhima, but some other Krishna came and saved them, saved the situation. So this brothers, they went all over. But how did they get to all other parts of the world? This was Nandarani's question. How did they get everywhere? How did the people, because it stated clearly in the Mahabharata that all these people came from all around the world to pay homage. They brought all kinds of gifts, that you, unimaginable gifts. And it also clearly states in the Mahabharata, they came from islands in the ocean. How did they know? Or do we think this is mythology? It's not really true. Anyway, so I'm going to complete this verse. Bhishma Dev says, this happened during my presence. Let me back up. Said, there was the greatest assembly of all the elite men of the world, the royal and learned orders. And in that great assembly, Lord Sri Krishna was worshipped by one and all as the most exalted personality of Godhead. This happened during my presence, and I remembered the incident in order to keep my mind upon the Lord. So, Bhishma Dev already established that they came from all over the world to honor Maharaj Yudhishthira. So, Prabhupada's purport now. And all of you raised your hand earlier on that you accept Prabhupada's purports as Shastra. So there's no doubting what Prabhupada is saying here. After gaining victory in the Battle of Kurukshetra, Maharaj Yudhishthira, the emperor of the world, performed the Rajasuya sacrificial ceremony. The emperor in those days, upon his ascendance to the throne, would send a challenge horse all over the world to declare his supremacy. And any ruling prince or king was at liberty to accept the challenge and express his tacit willingness either to obey or to disobey the supremacy of the particular emperor. One who accepted the challenge had to fight with the emperor and establish his own supremacy by victory. The defeated king would have to sacrifice his life, making a place for another king or ruler. So there were subordinate kings in all the kingdoms around, but this one king was established as the emperor of the whole world, and he did that by being willing to fight with anybody who didn't want to submit to him. So Maharaj Yudhishthira also dispatched such challenging horses all over the world. And every ruling prince and king all over the world accepted Maharaj Yudhishthira's leadership as the emperor of the world. Prabhupada is driving it home over and over again. The world. Do you think that Prabhupada was so such a village person that he thought the world meant just India? No, seriously, this is a serious question. When Prabhupada is saying here, the world, does he mean the entire world or not? Does anybody doubt that? Prabhupada is a very learned person. He personally went around the world 14 times. So when he says in his purport, Yudhishthira Maharaj ruled the entire world, do you think he meant the entire world as we know it or not? Yes. So where are devotees coming from who are saying that no, Maharaj Yudhishthira did not rule the entire world? Some devotees in our own camp are saying this. So-called intelligent, educated devotees are saying this. They don't accept that Yudhishthira was the emperor of the whole world. That this is fictitious. Prabhupada is saying it here. So that means you're rejecting Prabhupada. Prabhupada clearly says it. Emperor of the whole world. After this, all rulers of the world under the regime of Maharaj Yudhishthira were invited to participate in the great sacrificial ceremony of Rajasuya. So this is described elaborately in the Mahabharata. If you haven't read the Mahabharata, I think it's in the Savaparva. Such performances required hundreds of millions of dollars, and it was not an easy job for a petty king. Such a sacrificial ceremony being too expensive and also difficult to perform under present circumstances is now impossible in this age of Kali. Nor can anyone secure the required expert priesthood to take charge of the ceremony. So after being invited, all the kings and great learned sages of the world assembled in the capital of Maharaj Yudhishthira. The learned society, including the great philosophers, religionists, physicians, scientists, and all great sages, was invited. That is to say, the brahmanas and the kshatriyas were the topmost leading men in society, and they were all invited to participate in the assembly. So, very clear. I mean, it's a lengthy purport. You can read the rest of it. It's the first canto, chapter 9, text 41. But this is not the only place. Prabhupada said repeatedly that Maharaj Yudhishthira was the emperor of the world. From Hastinapur, he ruled. So then Nandarani's question was, well, how did they get around everywhere? So we have to understand, we, with our teeny minds, teeny intelligence, we cannot understand everything. But if you think back, this was 5,000 years ago. Even the demons of those days could fly. Literally, right? Trinavarta, Putana, and so many other witches. They could fly from place to place. So what makes you think that the great devotees couldn't also fly from place to place if they wanted to? What makes me think that they were limited to just horses? Or maybe they had extraordinary horses like Krishna himself did. In one night, Krishna, with his chariot and horses, went from Dwarka to the place where Rukmini was at the time, in the kingdom of her father. So that it was calculated, the proper calculus in the Krishna book was about more than 800 miles. So for horses to travel 800 miles, you can't even do that in your fastest car nowadays. Can anybody go 800 miles overnight in their so-called, you know, super fast cars? No, you can't. So Krishna's horses were obviously not ordinary. So even if they were using horses, they had access to extraordinary horses. And that's just minuscule. When Arjuna couldn't save the sons of the Brahmanas, Krishna put him on his chariot and took him to see Mahavishnu. Billions of miles away. Billions of miles away. And came back while everybody was still alive. Normally, if you somehow can travel even to Brahmaloka, by the time you come back, as was the case of Kukudmi, everybody you know is dead. Long gone. Because just a fraction of Lord Brahma's time is millions of years on the earth planet. But Krishna took Arjuna to see Mahavishnu outside the universe and came back and everybody was still here. So therefore, our philosophy, we know, the philosophy of the Hare Krishna movement, the Brahma Madhva Gaudiya Sampradaya is Achintya Beda Beda Tattva. It starts out with the word Achintya. What does Achintya mean? Inconceivable. So we're trying to conceive of things that are inconceivable. We cannot. So we shouldn't think that because I don't understand how Yudhishthira Maharaj could be the king of the whole world, therefore it's not true. No, just because you can't understand a particular feature of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness doesn't mean it's not true. Prabhupada said once, mystery or mysterious means you don't understand. But for somebody who understands, there is no mystery. If something is going on that seems mysterious to you, if somebody else knows what's going on, then it's not a mystery to them. So we're hearing from those to whom nothing is a mystery. There's nothing mysterious to Krishna. He knows everything. He's the Supreme Lord. And he's giving this knowledge to us through the disciplic succession. So our main activity in this Krishna consciousness movement is to pass on that knowledge without changing it in any way. Can we do that? Can we pledge to pass on the knowledge that we're getting from Srila Prabhupada without changing it in any way? It's not so easy because we allow our own false ego to get in the way. If I simply pass on the knowledge that I get, then where is any glory for me? See? Then you become just a postal peon, which is what we're supposed to be. Prabhupada said over repeatedly. Devotee means just like the postal peon. You give him a letter, he doesn't open it and change anything. He just gives it to the next person he's supposed to go to. So it's the same thing with the philosophy. We're supposed to receive it and pass it on exactly as we got it. Don't change anything. Don't interpret anything. Just pass it on. So to sit there and read Prabhupada's books and say, this I accept, that I don't accept, that's called Ardha Kukuti Nyaya, the philosophy of half a hen. We all have heard, maybe some of the newer devotees haven't heard. This nyaya, logic, there are different features. So one of them is called Ardha Kukuti Nyaya. Kukuti is the hen. So if you, the story is the farmer had a hen. Every day she's giving eggs, which he liked. But on the front side, from the beak side, she's eating grains every day. He didn't like that. So he figured, if I cut it in half, the back side will give the eggs and I'll keep them. And then the front side I can throw away. I don't have to feed it. But if you cut the hen in half, the hen dies and you don't get anything. So it's the same thing with scripture, with Shastra. You cannot say this part of Shastra sounds good to me and I accept it. And this other part, I don't like it and it's too tough or I don't believe it and therefore I'll get rid of it. No. Then you're left with nothing. You get nothing. You have to accept the Shastra as it is. And that's our proper stress. Bhagavad Gita as it is. We could have named this also Srimad Bhagavatam as it is. Chaitanya Charitamrita as it is. Not as somebody interpreted. And our duty is to pass it on exactly like that. Don't change anything. Because I don't like the fact that the Brahmanas are the head of society. I think, you know, I'm a Kshatriya and the Kshatriya should be. No. Don't change anything. Keep it exactly as it is, and then the potency will be there, and people will be benefited, and we will also benefit. So we can stop here. Any questions or comments? Yes. Urmila Prabhu. No, the Mac is for the internet.
So you were saying nothing is mysterious to Krishna, so I'd like to offer a little. Is that all right?
Yeah, sure.
Okay. So Prabhupada says that Krishna is always expanding. So he expands, and then his knowledge of himself expands. But then he expands some more. So his knowledge. So there's always something about himself he doesn't know. And if Krishna is Akila Rasamrita Murti, if he's the sum of all rasas, so one of the rasas is wonder and surprise. And the psychologists will say that one of the things we enjoy the most are surprises. And that they say, like in a relationship, like husband-wife relationship, if there's no surprises, the relationship gets really boring. You know? So Krishna also likes surprises. So he also likes mysteries. And therefore, he's always learning new things about himself. So he's also curious and also learning and he's not static. And then he likes good mysteries. And he likes solving puzzles, you know, like my friends are in Agasura. What do I do? How do I kill the snake without killing my friends? How do I figure that out? You know, Radharani's mad at me. What do I do to get her to like me again? And, you know, so my mother's upset with me. How do I run and get away from her? So I'd like to suggest that Krishna also likes things that are mysterious and problem-solving and
yeah, that's
curiosity.
A fact. That's Lila Shakti, though. Krishna still knows everything. It's like the old, you know, foolish Western so-called philosophical question. If God can do anything, can he create a stone that he can't lift? That's just it's really not an intelligent question. So, but we know, we understand that, yes, it seems that Krishna at times doesn't know something, but it's Lila Shakti. He actually knows. He wants to engage with his devotees in loving pastimes. And if he presents himself as being God, the knower of everything, can't be surprised, then again, there's no flavor. There's no taste. So Krishna buys Lila Shakti, puts, first of all, the devotee in the situation where the devotee's thinking that she's mother. She's not. Nobody can be mother of God. And also seems to put himself in a situation where he doesn't know what's coming next. You know, and he's afraid that the coward boys, Mother Yashoda is calling him, come home, Krishna, take a bath and eat. And he starts to go, but the coward boys threaten him, if you go home, then we won't play with you tomorrow. So then out of fear, he goes back and he plays with them some more. So this is all Leela. It's not that Krishna is actually afraid of anything or anyone, or he doesn't really know anything, but he, by Leela Shakti, he presents himself in that way so that he can interact with those devotees in these wonderful ways. And that's one of the things, actually, that sets Krishna apart from his other expansions. This is stated in I believe it's the 20th chapter of the Antilila, that Lord Vishnu and the other Vishnu expansions, they exhibit up to 60 of the 64 qualities, but their four qualities are reserved only for Krishna. And the first one is Sarvabhuta Chamakara Lila Kala Lavardi, that he engages in these adbhuta, these wonderful pastimes that are like an ocean of mellow of taste with his devotees. The other expansions, they don't exhibit that. And part of that, again, is this business of being surprised, of being afraid, and therefore, you know, Kunti's bewildered in her prayer. She's saying that she's bewildered. How fear personifies is afraid of you, but you're afraid of Mother Yashoda. How is that? So that's Krishna, Krishna's potency. All right. Okay. Yes, Acharya.
Hi, Vishnu Prabhu. Thank you very much for your wonderful presentation.
Forgive me for picking up the movie.
I remember read it in one purport of Chaitanya Charitamrita, where Prabhupada said that New Testament, Old Testament, and Quran are considered to be Mlecha Dharmas, or Mlecha Shastras. So our scripture is called Sanatana Dharma. So in relationship to the text from yesterday and today, I want to know if Christianity is considered or falls in one of those categories.
To fall in one of these categories?
Yeah.
No, not Christianity. Don't forget, Christianity means following Christ. And Christ we accept as bona fide representative of God. What passes for Christianity is not. Just like in India, what passes for Vedic Dharma nowadays is not. It's been polluted by the caste system. So real Christianity means following Christ. And if you follow Christ, the bona fide representative of God, then you'll advance in Christian consciousness, in God consciousness. But the problem is that those who claim to be followers of Christ, they're not actually following. They're not actually following. You see? Because the real goal of knowledge, I mean, everybody, most of you were here Sunday for Prabhupada's lecture. Who remembers that lecture? Everybody afterwards were going, wow, what a lecture. But 2 days later, who remembers? I'm asking you a serious question. Who remembers? Do you remember which canto? Which canto was it from? Third canto. Which chapter? 26th chapter. What's the verse? Verse number 2. Who was speaking? Yeah. And what did he say? Does anybody remember the verse? In English, even if you don't remember the Sanskrit. I'll give you the beginning. Gyanam nikshaya sarthaya. Gyanam. First word is knowledge. See? This is Kali Yuga. Even when we are amazed by something, everybody was amazed by Prabhupada's lecture on Sunday. Everybody's going, whoa, Prabhupada ki jai. 2 days later, you don't remember. So I'll tell you what was said. Kapila Dev said to, who is he speaking to? Devahuti's mother. What's Devahuti's position? What's her position? She's a pure devotee of the Lord. She doesn't really need this instruction. So he's instructing us through his mother. So he said, knowledge, jnanam, nikshaya sartaya, it's the perfection of knowledge is what I'm going to give you right now. He said, I'm going to give you what is the perfection of knowledge. Purushartha atma darshana, which gives you the view of self-realization. And then he says, and what was the goal of that? The goal of that is Hridaya Granti Bedanam, to destroy the knots in the heart. Right? So he's telling Devahuti, I'm going to give you knowledge by which you can destroy your material attachment. She's not materially attached. She's a pure devotee. So he's telling us. So this is the point. This is Kali Yuga. Even when we are attracted to something, even when we think something is wonderful, we can't remember Kali Yuga brains. So, and then we have the audacity to challenge Prabhupada's purports. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not true. Wake up. Wake up. All of us, I'm speaking to myself also, wake up. We need to just wake up and understand that if we want to get out of here, we can't have a challenging attitude towards Krishna's pure devotee. Just accept what Prabhupada gives us, try our best to follow it, and we will go back to home, back to God. Granta Rachimid Bhagavatam Ki Jai. Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Haribol.
By chance, do you know when the emperor started losing his power in terms that the other kingdoms started creating and more independence?
After preaching. Haribol. How did you know I wanted to talk to you?
Hallelujah.